Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We got a trip coming up, young fella.
We do. I actually brought my circuit cap.
We're going to Las Vegas, Nevada.
And I can't wait to talk with Derek Stevens about that.
I want him to think that I'm pondering a call. But all I'm really thinking about is Vegas.
Great to talk to you, fellas. I'm all fired up. We're ready to go. The beer will be ready. The pools will be warm. And we got football. I can't wait.
You have done a wonderful job creating this connection between Illinois and Chicago and the Score specifically with Circa. We cannot wait.
I couldn't wait to get my hands on Vegas. But the bosses didn't send me out there to have a good time.
It's going
to
be a full set. We got extra time, too. Remember, we got that early game in Munich here, so we're starting. We like betting football at 6:30 in the morning, Vegas time. You know, we'll be ready to go.
I love guys who like football. Yeah, guys who like football, they like me back, and I like them back.
Yeah, this is what, fifth trip for the Score, maybe more, seventh?
This is my fourth trip to Circa.
So,
and I got to tell you, I was done with Vegas.
A little bit of this town goes a very long way. After 5 days in Vegas, you feel like you've been here for 5 years.
Until Circa. Like, I was absolutely, like, done with it. I have an advantage over you guys.
Head start?
Yeah, because I'm leaving here at, like, 6 on Thursday, which will put me in Las Vegas
at, like 7.
Probably fall all over themselves for a couple of high-class guys like me and you. You want to be fresh on the scene, right?
I know, but the new place is down this strip. Now, those places are supposed to be it.
Oh, Mike, you don't want all that Pirate of the Caribbean horse, you know, or the rock and roll grunge tip. Well, guys like me and you got to kick it here, old school.
And now, live from Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book, it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show, and we are live at Stadium Swim here at Circa Casino and Resort. It is magnificent. Our drinks just arrived. We have got, what are we doing? We did Arnold Palmer's and Diet Coke,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're being incredibly professional and adult.
Oh, thank you.
And I, for one, would like to applaud our professionalism. I'm impressed. And really what that means is that no one has had the guts to order the first alcoholic beverage.
There we go.
And then as soon as someone does, and but like three other people are going to be like, oh, okay, thank God. Yes, I will have that. I mean, that's historically, I think, how it works.
Here's the crazy thing. The drinks that we have in front of us are 32 ounces. Our engineer, Ray, just put it up to the camera, Ray.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, man.
He does this every – he goes in and gets his – what is it, like 99 ounces or whatever.
I'm going to go 128. I'm going to say 128.
128.
It's got a name, yes?
I nailed
it.
And it's Jerry. This is Jerry.
All right, can you put it in front of the camera so that people can see it?
This reminds me of Joe Madden, who had the cousin Eddie, right?
Yeah.
This is his version.
That's all vodka in there.
That's Big Jerry.
And he could live in there. Ray could live in there like Joe lived in the cousin Eddie.
Well, I've already spilled, so that's good.
It's like that Burt Kreischer clip where he's drinking 64 ounces of Kool-Aid in the morning with Tom Segura. It's exactly what it's like.
That is 128 ounces of Coke Zero?
Coke Zero.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you just buy a 2-liter and pour it in there, or do you go to 7-Eleven and go to the machine?
Well, it's half. Well, it's usually sometimes it's free. Otherwise, it's $1.07 at 7-Eleven.
What? To get that much Coke Zero? Because you bought that at 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Is that the deal?
I love it.
It's $1.49 at Chevron here.
There you go. It looks like you've had that for roughly 35 years.
Well, no.
Okay. 20.
No, he just straps it to the back of his car when he leaves.
Well, like Aunt Edna in Vacation.
When I go to transmitter sites in a bumpy road, I have to hold it so my skin rubs all this off.
Oh, that's way too much information.
It spills on you.
This is how we beat Wojo, by the way. This is how we did in the last book.
We have mountains here. We have mountains, and I have to go up these mountains.
You do have mountains. Lawrence, I woke up this morning and looked out the window and saw the mountains.
It's glorious.
Oh, my God.
This is what I try to explain to people. Like, the four corner states are...
Yeah. You got it going on.
Are you
going
to hike, Lawrence? I know you do in Arizona.
I'm thinking about that. Tomorrow will probably be a good day to do it. To go up to like Blue Diamond or Red Rock and go hiking over there, and it's so nice and so quiet. Like, I love that. Yeah. So it's on the list of things of possibilities. But I gotta tell you, Shane, I didn't think I would
I would immediately hit the tables when I got here, and I did. So I feel like that might be what happens this weekend until the money runs out.
Well, it's because you had cash. That's why you hit the tables. You can't just have cash and not hit the tables.
Right, but he only got the cash just to be prepared just in case.
And then all of a sudden,
because there's not always an opportunity to get cash once you're in the casino, you know?
Well, so it make it very difficult.
Usually, yeah. Though, it costs a lot more to get cash in the casino.
$10.
Yeah, like $10.
Yeah. I know.
Insane.
I know. It's so easy to rationalize, though. Really. It's like, depending as the later the evening goes, like, boy, that's $10. But I don't have to walk across the street or go hunting. So you end up doing it.
So we are here, and Derek Stevens is going to join us at 4:30 on the show today. We're glad that you're here, too. All of us have took different routes to get here, and we'll go into some of that. A little bit in the next segment, but there is a Bears game this weekend, and we will watch it at what, 10 o'clock our time.
Yeah, 10 o'clock our time, and we'll be saddling up to the sports book, and our listeners will be saddling up wherever they are to check out the game, because that's what we do. But last night is maybe the game of the year so far in the NFL, that Bengals-Ravens thing. And I had to catch up today in condensed form because we were traveling and everything like that. But just even just watching the 17-minute condensed version, it was outrageous. And to see Lamar had, what, 197 and 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
You had two guys that are squarely in the MVP conversation, playing some of their best football.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wild because I was like, man, am I going to just watch this on my phone? Because my flight was like when kickoff started. My flight got moved back an hour. So I was able to watch the whole first half while waiting to get on the plane.
Oh, there you go.
And by the time I got here, because it's nothing from Phoenix.
Right, you had fourth quarter here.
I got to see the end of the third and all of the fourth quarter.
That is that works out beautifully.
And watching those two dudes just play, yeah. How about this? Playing I Got Next,
yeah.
with the throws was Jamar Chase yesterday was everything. What do you have, 267 yards?
Something like that.
And 3 touchdowns.
He was a remarkable.
They're just trading haymakers with each other day in and day. It's just beautiful.
And I know, Lawrence and listeners, that I have sold myself and sold you, perhaps, on believing that the Bears finally got a dude who was going to be able to be in a game like that. And we've talked about it at different times the last few years. Like, oh, yeah, it'd be nice to have one of those guys who could get out there in a shootout. We talked about it all offseason in August that I think we finally got a guy. And I know I wasn't alone in believing that. And maybe we still do long term. But as recently as the Houston game on a Sunday night, I remember saying on this show that I guess it was Spiegel Capital at the time. But like I remember saying, maybe if this was week 8, it'd be a shootout. It'd be one of those kind of games, and you'd have Stroud and Caleb shooting, you know, punching each other back and forth, you know, and you'd have that kind of shootout. Well, here we are. It's week 10. Does anybody believe that the Bears offense is going to be in a game like that? That Caleb could be in a game like
that? With Jordan Love?
With anybody at some point this year.
Jared Goff?
A 35-34 game. Because you know Goff could hang in that game. You know Jordan Love could hang.
Guess who else has hung in some of those games?
Sam Darnold. It looks like it's possible. And I assumed and hoped, and yes, I admit it, sold myself and sold perhaps you, the listeners, that we had a guy who was going to be able to be in a game like that at some point this year. I didn't expect it right at the beginning, but I figured at some point this year, I'd feel like we had an offense that could go out there, put up 35, and win a 35-33 game. And I'm having a hard time envisioning that happening this year.
Because of the guy or because of the situation?
Because of the whole situation, but it's certainly a little bit because of the guy in terms of who he is right now because of the situation. You know, like we can't tell how much is the guy, these struggles, and how much is the situation and the average depth of target and all the stuff we've gotten about Waldron and everything there is. And we'll keep trying to dissect it. But overall right now, does anybody else think that the Bears are capable of hanging in a 35-33 game at any point this year with their offense? Because I can't see it, and it pisses me off that I can't see it.
Against another quality team.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's because we've seen them put up big points We've seen Caleb actually have a couple of big games. It's trying to figure out, like, to contextualize what those big games mean, if anything, because of the level of competition and how we've seen the offense just continue to look clunky and him miss and him be the quarterback who's missing downfield the most in the NFL. I don't think anyone, even if you weren't a huge Caleb fan, I don't think anyone thought that that was going to be the issue for him. Maybe fumbles, right, because right, that's something that happened with him in college. Ryan Clark said this morning, it was interesting. He's like, you know, in retrospect, I didn't talk enough about the bad stuff that I saw on his pro day. And I was like, So then they showed video of all of the misses.
On the pro day?
Long. On the deeper routes on air.
Oh, God.
That Caleb had. And he's like, you know, I should have been ringing more alarms about that in the pre-draft process with Caleb.
Oh, man. I've seen some exchanges about that. I saw Matt Bowen and Jeff Schwartz in an exchange on Twitter about, like, Bowen was talking about what Caleb's tape looks like. And Jeff Schwartz is like, sounds like it's college tape. Young quarterback. And Bowen's like, yep, young quarterback. He's got a ways to go. And I was like, what? No, because I looked at a crap ton of his college tape. I got sold on him as a pocket passer in the college tape because I saw enough. And I wasn't alone. There was a lot of people who believed in him in full. You know? And I'm not done believing in him.
It's still in there.
I do believe it's still in there. But I thought we'd have it sometime this year. And we're in the middle of this year, Lawrence. And I just don't. I don't see it. Does anybody believe this Bears offense can hang with a 35-34 game at some point this year?
I think that there is enough talent that they could find themselves in a game like that. But the problem is that it's hard now to figure out. Like, these are all the things, like, the worst-case scenario type stuff that any Bears fan or Bears observer has been witnessing over the last couple of quarterbacks of how much is the quarterback and how much is the environment. And I think now there is enough quarterback resurgence around the league that it's fair to go, it's clearly the environment.
Well, it's not binary, but it's sure. Maybe it's 60% environment, 70% environment, something like that. You know, but
because I don't think he's bad. Like, I don't think that Caleb's bad. And I look at this system and I go, ooh, they're not getting the most out of them. How can that be? Because even if you were a huge detractor of Caleb and you were looking at games against Utah and Notre Dame as things that were precursors to problems, you understood that he was fighting a deficit because of who the players were on USC's team, that he did have to go and play hero ball. I do worry that some of that is creeping back in, and
it looks like it. It looks like it is.
And how do you stop it?
The willingness to go down the field when it's not there and not take those checkdowns. The taking of the sacks to be out of field goal range without thinking holistically about the best and simplest thing to do for the team. It's worrisome in that regard. I mean, look, maybe it's my own fault for the expectations. You know, it's my own fault.
I don't think it's Speaks. You weren't on an island, and the inhabitants of that area that you were in also included the Bears. Like, let's. I don't want people who have faith in Caleb Williams coming into the draft. You guys are not crazy, okay? Like, clearly something has happened here, and yeah, it needs to be fixed. And now the thing is, the people that are in charge, are they equipped to fix it? Because I'm not sure.
No, I give it that big
old
no.
And I'm leaning towards no.
You know what I've got in my files? I have like...
The Rockford files?
Yeah, well, it's a hell of a theme right there.
It's a great theme.
Strong. I have a collection of stats of great quarterbacks that were bad as rookies. I got the Aikman numbers, you know.
The Manning numbers.
I got the Manning numbers. I got the Elway number. I got all that stuff in a file. I think I had it for Mitch. And then I touched it up for Justin, and I didn't want to go to it this year to, like, give context on how it's all still possible to happen. You're going to make me go to it later today.
It's also hard for you to do that when Jaden Daniels is playing well, and Bo Nix was offensive rookie of the month.
C.J. Stroud did what he did last year.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to make that, but that's all right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how awesome this place is. We want you to come out to Circa, and what it was like for these boys as they were up till late in the morning.
And today is a day I could back up my proclamation with my wallet, and I don't know.
You're in a town to do it.
I mean, I think I have to.
Which proclamation? You've made a couple? You know what? We'll figure it out during break, and we'll let you know. Spiegel and Holmes, we are here at Circa Stadium Swim, talking Bears with you on The Score.